preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake.
I'm back. I'm back. I'm back and never silent, revolutionary minded, like a million about to riot, and I'm ready to incite it. Try to push me, boy, I like it. In his word, I am delighted. I've been blessing enemies and keeping haters on a diet.
I'm back.
I'm back.
I'm back.
I'm back.
And it is just an incredible movie to watch because they give you so much information, even though the movie's not really well done as far as that, the way they go through the book and the movie in relation to the book. I watched a YouTube video on a guy talking about the book, and there's so much more information in it. But the Circle is basically a Google-esque type of facility where they want their employees to just basically live, eat, and breathe there, and they want you to be a part of this movie, a part of this facility, a part of their business. They want you to seek them and for counseling and any needs that you have or any hardships you're going through. They want you to come to them first. I'm going to show the trailer to this because this movie really shows kind of where we're headed as far as what the idea for the government and these people like Facebook and Google and all this, what they do, what their goals are. And, you know, towards the end of the movie, we did watch the movie, so towards the end of the movie, I'll explain a little bit what happens after we watch the trailer, because it doesn't go into it very much. So let's go ahead and let's turn to the trailer and watch this trailer for The Circle. It's quite interesting, and then we'll get into it just a little more.
I am a believer in the perfectibility of human beings.
At The Circle, we can finally realize our potential.
When we are our best selves, there isn't a problem that we cannot solve. We can cure any disease, and we can end hunger. Imagine the human rights implications. The possibilities are endless.
Your payment. It was for 7813, and the bill was for 7831.
Thank you.
You got the job at The Circle.
Have a drink, have a good time, and stay excited. You're at The Circle.
Hello, May. How are you?
Jared here. I'll be doing your training.
When I first started, it took me a few weeks to really get the hang of it. Believe me, you're doing fine.
You should come visit me at work sometime.
You might think I was there to clean the toilets. Everyone really likes you.
Your work's an exemplary strong lady, but you're absent at several events.
Sorry, my dad had an episode and I was home helping out.
Is that related to his MS?
I've been looking into your parents' situation, and I have an idea.
So I was thinking it would make sense for May's folks to come on the Circle Health Plan.
I want to say how much I value what you've done for my family.
May, you're a valued part of the Circle. We care about everybody you care about.
May's only been with us for a few months, but she has made quite an impression. So, May, do you think you behave better or worse when you are being watched?
We have cameras in place all over the world right now.
Watching you.
We used to go on adventures. We used to have fun and see things. And now it's all filtered through this. Does this really seem okay to you?
Watching you.
I didn't create this. This is not what I had in mind.
Watching you.
Things at The Circle, they need to change.
Watching you.
every recorded scene broadcast is stored and analyzed here. They can use it however they see fit, no matter what its cost.
Knowing is good, but knowing everything is better. So, May, is there anything you want to tell us?
Well, there we go, the circle. So they show you all this stuff, and they, you know, in one of the scenes there, they show the two people talking to her were like, you were absent from several events, and, you know, why weren't you there, basically? It's, you know, they want you to do everything. So later on in the movie, getting closer towards the end, they start talking with this Emma Watson character, starts talking in one of their boardroom meetings, and you know they want to centralize voter registration, voting. They want to their facility, the Circle, to handle everything. You know, why do you need a driver's license? Why do you need identification? Why do you, you know, you just go to them, you sign up with them, with the Circle or parentheses Google, and they do everything. They handle it all. They even want you to vote through their system. They want complete what they call transparency. So in the movie, the Emma Watson character, she puts on a camera and you see everything she does throughout her whole life. Of course, she, you know, there is privacy where she can take showers and go to the bathroom and that kind of stuff. She gets a certain amount of time to do that off camera. But every aspect of her life is videoed and you get to partake in it. And that's the ultimate Big Brother, if you will. And, you know, they showed a scene in this clip where they went down to the basement and there was just row after row after row of computers. And they're storing all this information. They even said it in the trailer. They're storing this information, and they can analyze it and use it as they see fit. Well, I mean, that's basically what Google does. I mean, you can go on Google right now and search for something, and then within 5 or 10 minutes, you can go to your – open up Facebook, and whatever you were searching for is now in Facebook. So, you know, they're giving you the ads on the, you know, right-hand side of Facebook or whatever for stuff you just search for in Google. So, you know, they're already starting to store and analyze data. And, you know, there's – so this movie just kind of was nothing new information for us, for me, but it was – they just put it out there, you know. And, you know, preparing for the show, I just was going through – I'll see if I can find where I pulled it up. Anyway, Utah, you know, back 3 years ago or whatever, you know, we were talking about, and there was a big thing about this massive NSA storage facility out there for data. You know, and it's a $1.5 billion facility. I was looking on the Blaze here. It says 7 stats to know about NSA's massive Utah data center as it nears completion. Well, this was July of 2013, so I'm sure it's up and running by now. It says the project cost is $1.5 billion. It's 1 million square feet. 100,000 square feet will compose 4 data halls with data storage servers. 900,000 square feet will serve for technical and administrative support. So, you know, the NSA is starting to log and keep up with all of your Facebook posts, all of your Google searches, all of your telephone calls, all your text messages, all this stuff. And this is where it's going, and they're analyzing it and going to use it as they see fit, just like this trailer for The Circle said. So I got to looking, and just with this Circle and everything that's going on, I was like, huh, wonder where all this is going on. You know, and then we have, you know, Bitcoin and blockchain and all this AI, artificial intelligence being talked about now right here at the first of the year. And they, you know, Saudi Arabia just gave citizenship to the first AI robot, you know, and I was watching a video and I'm taking this from this guy. You know, he was, and I liked what he said. He said they gave citizenship to this robot so that they could say it has an income and could pay taxes on it. And if this AI robot is being paid through cryptocurrency, then, you know, this is all tying together. This is all tying together. You know, and that's why I want to talk about the mark of the beast and the government control, because that all kind of goes hand in hand. And so with them collecting this data and then artificial intelligence coming on, you know, artificial intelligence, I'm going to read from Wikipedia here what it says it is, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it. It says artificial intelligence, AI, also means machine intelligence, or MI, is intelligence displayed by machines in contrast with the natural intelligence displayed by humans and other animals. In computer science, AI research is defined as the study of intelligent agents. Any device that perceives its environment and takes actions that maximize its chance of success at some goal. Colloquially, the term artificial intelligence is applied when a machine mimics cognitive functions that humans associate with other human minds, such as learning and problem solving. The scope of AI is disputed as machines become increasingly capable. Tasks considered as requiring intelligence are often removed from the definition. So they're trying to make computers think like the human mind. They're trying to get computers to the point where you have quantum mechanics involved with computers. So, like, I don't know, how about Transformers, robots that think and talk, you know, Bumblebee and Megatron and all these, you know, all these type of robots in these movies. Then we have The Matrix, where the robots, machines took over and started using humans for batteries. So, you know, what these movies talked about is the beginnings of it is starting now. So one of the biggest AI machines, I guess you could say, that has come about in the last few years is IBM's Watson. You know, IBM's Watson beat some guy that was the world champion of a game or something. I think it might have been chess or something. I don't really know exactly what game he was a world champion at, but this machine, Watson, artificial intelligence, beat him at it. So I'm looking at the IBM website here. It says research.ibm.com. It says IBM Research has been exploring artificial intelligence and machine learning technologies and techniques for decades. Y'all hear that? Decades. We believe AI will transform the world in dramatic ways in the coming years, and we're advancing the field through our portfolio of research on three areas, AI science, AI engineering, and AI tech. We're also working to accelerate AI research through collaboration with like-minded institutions and individuals to push the boundaries of AI faster for the benefit of industry and society. So they're working real hard on this AI stuff. So, and AI, the artificial intelligence that they're wanting it to learn and think and operate independently of human programming, human interference, human need, this is where blockchain and Bitcoin are headed. So I found a story here on yourstory.com. I mean, I don't know this website, but I liked how they summarize things about some of the research I've been doing about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and all this. It said it's blockchain, Bitcoin, and artificial intelligence 1.0, all you need to know. It says blockchain, Bitcoin, and artificial intelligence may be buzzwords, but it's important for corporates, startups, and individuals to make sense of these technologies of the future. A startup founder comes up and says, I invested $40,000, I don't even know what country this is from, RS, $40,000 in Bitcoin, It has now doubled. 2 days later, a friend says, I want to invest my savings in Bitcoin. So we go down. So we know that Bitcoin is taking off. I mean, we know it's just went up astronomically in value. So it says Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency was born 10 years ago when the founder, Satoshi Nakamoto, who was not has not revealed himself in the world as yet, wrote a technology protocol called blockchain. So how does this work? It says current digital technology is based on client-server models where information that is updated or exchanged is controlled by one central server and database in a business contract execution between two parties. This information is always passing through a bank, which is a trusted third party. In a blockchain, the system works differently. It works on distributed computing where every bit of information updated between multiple parties is captured by all parties, including the bank. There is not one central server controlling the flow of information updates. This does not complicate or duplicate work. So go on down, it says the Bitcoin tech, the smart contract becomes a block in the system, which the technology verifies to be true within all parties. Since it is a distributed open loop ledger system, the computer that first verifies the transaction mines Bitcoins. And I don't even know what all this means exactly. So for the Bitcoin system to become mainstream, it requires a central banking to disappear. It requires central banking to disappear and money as a concept to completely be controlled by a digital system without factoring in data such as inflation and consumer price index. Will it end poverty? No. That's what this article is talking about. So here it says they want to get rid of the central banking system, and they only want this cryptocurrency to be accessible online. And that's where Pastor Dean had talked about a few weeks ago or whatnot about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies and stuff being one being a step in the direction of the mark of the beast. Because if you have your currency digitized and no banks or anything like that, and I understand the arguments about getting rid of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, and the central banks and the world banks and all this stuff. I understand the arguments with that. You know, because they say the Rothschilds control all this, and I'm not doubting that, but getting your currency, getting your money digitized where you don't carry it in your pocket is what the ultimate goal of the one world currency, the one world government, the one world religion. You know, that's where this is headed. We're going to get into the mark of the beast and all that in just a minute, but I'm telling you, this stuff, the way that this cryptocurrencies are headed, and there's multiple ones of them out there. It's not just Bitcoin. There's a whole heap of them that are starting to rise up. So for the control of the money to be given to one governmental agency, i.e. the United Nations, it has to be digitized where somebody can control it. Even though they say this can't be controlled by any one person, whose word are we taking for this? I mean, they say, but how do they know? Because nobody knows the person that invented or developed this blockchain nobody knows who they are. Or it could be a conglomeration of people that came together and developed this. Nobody knows. So how do we know who controls it and who doesn't? I mean, there's just too many unknowns with this. It says, it will be used by advanced societies, and the world will have both Bitcoin and currency, says Arifa Khan, a representative of Ethereum Foundation, a technology protocol for blockchain. She says Bitcoin works because it does not need banks controlling the exchange of goods between people. Nonetheless, the narratives of the financial system will still create a world of the haves and have-nots. Let us explore why. So now we go into the rise of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is software that writes itself and learns for from massive data patterns to make decisions. Today, all software is being taught by humans and is in the realm of machine learning and deep learning. While governments and politicians use the word AI, they want to jump into the narrative because they think more students to register in colleges. They're just trying to basically get the new generation of kids. In essence, 20 years from now, there can be several possibilities. You don't need people in an era of AI to program systems. Job losses will be real unless corporates train individuals to train the system. This is where the society must realign itself. So if the client wants efficiency, we have to move towards systems and technologies that make work happen in the most efficient way in terms of service and price. AI allows that, says this person. He adds that the future is about answering what clients demand. So, you know, basically AI can mine these bitcoins faster. You know, read an article where they're talking about Bitcoin. Whenever it first started out, you could use one little desktop computer to mine these blockchains. Now they have server after server, hundreds of gigabytes of computers, hundreds of thousands of gigabytes of computers mining these things at breakneck speeds so that they can make these transactions faster. And they have to do that because it has grown so much in popularity. So basically they want AI to learn how to do this without somebody having to tell it how to do this. And this is all part of, you know, where we're headed with worshiping the beast, with the government's controlling whether you buy or sell and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's all sorts of stuff going on. And I came across a video that it was on Alex Jones' website, even though I don't particularly like everything he talks about or his shows talk about or whatever. But this guy caught my attention because of who he is. This guy is Frank Abagnale. I don't know if you know who he is or not, but the movie Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, this movie was based on his life. So this is, I'm going to show a video right quick because he talks about some stuff about this company that is allowing you to get rid of passwords and a bunch of other stuff. I mean, it's just, so I want him to tell kind of, he's going to tell us where we're headed in the next 24 months to 5 years in technology. So Frank Abagnale works, he was a criminal in this movie, Catch Me If You Can. And then he got arrested and all that, and he served about 4 years of a 12-year sentence, and the FBI came to him and said, hey, we want you to come to work for us and train and teach us and help us to catch people that do what you did, basically. So he's been with the FBI now, I think he said 41 years or something like that, 40-plus years with the FBI, helping. He first started out in undercover and then went into the office and taught in the FBI Academy and this sort of, all this kind of stuff. So now he works on their cyber crimes. I mean, this talk he did, it's Talks at Google. You can go on YouTube, search Frank Abagnale, Talks at Google, and it's a little over an hour long. Of course, we don't have that long to watch the whole thing, but the first half of it or so is just him telling his story and how he got to where he was and all this, that, and the other. Then there was probably the next nearly half is people asking him questions about this, that, and the other, about his life, about where he thinks we're headed. But this last, I don't know, 7.5 minutes or so is him talking about where we're headed in the future and what he sees and what he's teaching the new FBI agents as to where we're headed. So let's watch this, and then we'll talk about this company that he's talking about and we'll tie all this together, and then and we'll talk about the mark of the beast. So y'all stay tuned, stay with me, and I hope you're learning something. Here's Frank Abagnale at Google Talks. It's kind of like a TED Talk, Google Talks.
I'll just make a final comment to you. Having to deal with cyber now, I like to write about crimes in the future. So I always used to write to my class about what will we investigate 5 years from now? What will an agent be doing 5 years from now? And unfortunately, there's good news and there's bad news. First of all, the good news, we will be doing away with passwords in the next 24 months. Passwords will leave the world. There will be no more passwords. There is a new technology called TruSona. That's T-R-U-S-O-N-A, stands for True Persona. It is a company in Scottsdale, Arizona that created a technology for the CIA, which we have used now for the last few years. That technology, and I was an advisor on that technology for the CIA, so I'm an advisor on bringing it to the commercial world. But it was the ability for an agent to send data back from the field, such as Afghanistan, on their iPhone, and that Langley would know 100% that is the agent on the other end, to 100% identify the person on the other end of the device. That's a level 4 security. So they basically said, what if we brought this to level 2 security, and we did away with passwords. So immediately when they announced that, Microsoft gave them $10 million and said, I'm in, develop it. So Microsoft is going to use it on all their gaming, all their access to their computers, et cetera. We now have the ability to identify who the person is on the other end of that device. And when you go to their website at TruSona, they actually show you how it's done. So they show you demo videos there that are 3 or 4 minutes long that show you how it's done. And that's great. Passwords are stagnant. They should have been gone a long time ago. It's why we have most of the problems that we have today. So it is very important that we get rid of passwords. And just in case you didn't know, if we take a bank like a Bank of America, they spend about $6 million a month in their call center resetting passwords. Cost them $6 million a month. So that would save that bank $100 million a year to eliminate the use of passwords. So that's the good part of it. And I think that'll eventually do away with Social Security numbers. You'll still have a number assigned to you for the government purpose. But when I go buy a car or I go to the doctor, I don't have to give them a number because they already know who I am through my device. So I won't have to provide a Social Security number. So I think that's a good part. But I do believe that cyber, up until this point in time, has been used for financial crimes or gathering data and information, which is of value. What's going to happen is we're going to see cyber very quickly now turn very black. So we have the ability, as you know, to basically shut someone's pacemaker off, but we have to be within 35 feet of them. We test these devices at Quantico all the time. So as long as I walk up within 35 feet of you, I take control of any bodily device you have on you. So if I want to assassinate you, I want to speed it up, take it down, I can do that. But I believe that in 5 years, you'll be able to do that from 5,000 miles away. We have the ability now that we test that we can chase a car down the interstate. We got to get up within 35 feet of the vehicle. We take over the vehicle. We shut the motor off. We lock the person in the car. We lock the power window so they can't open them. We can turn on their airbag. Again, 5 years from now, you'd be able to do that 5,000 miles away. So yes, our electrical grid, used as a terrorist tool, the ability to shut down an entire system, shut down an entire banking system, those are all the things that unfortunately we'll be dealing with in the next 4 or 5 years as cyber starts to make that turn to the very black side of cyber, not just about stealing money, information, and data. And so that's why we're going to have to work extra hard to make sure that we go back to protect our electrical grid. I always remind people, we have the technology to prevent most of these problems, but if you don't use it, then it's worthless. And we tend to develop a lot of things. Now, I just want to make this emphasis to you. We develop a lot of things without following them through. So one thing I've done in the government over the last several years, if the government's going to buy a technology, they send me to the technology company and say, try to defeat that. I just simply go there and see their technology. As one CEO says, he plays chess with you. You tell him you did this, this, and this. And then he tells you, we have a weakness right here because I would come in and do this. So they build a wall up, and then he says, no, I would still get in here, until he says he can't do it any longer. Then we know we have a good technology. But very rarely is, and I did that with TruSonar when we did it for the purpose of the CIA. But today, and it tells you on the website that I advised on that project and why, how it became down to commercial use. But today what we have is we develop things. So we say to you, here's a device you put in your kitchen, and then you can talk to it to tell you, ask what the weather is, what's on TV tonight, all of that. I could easily reverse that and listen to everything you say in your house. There are so many weaknesses in your home. Your security cameras are access points, your remote control on your TV, your Samsung television, your refrigerator that tells you how much milk is in it. My thing is, I really don't need my refrigerator to talk to my toaster. They've gotten along for a long time without ever having a conversation. But what happens is we develop something, we get real excited about, we gotta get this to the marketplace. And sure enough, we never look at the negative side. All I try to say to a technology company, yeah, this is great. Now, can you take a little time to just say, how would someone use this technology in a negative, self-serving way, so that we build a block to that before we ever give it to the public to use it? We'd save a lot of problems. Been an absolute pleasure to spend the morning with you. Thank you very much for coming. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
There you go. Frank Abagnale talking at Google about the government's plans for the future. I mean, government control. They can get within 35 feet of you and shut your pacemaker down. And they test this at Quantico. They can get within 35 feet of your car and shut it down, lock you in it, and punch you in the face with your own airbag. I mean, people, if we can't see the evilness, of course, you know, they say they only use it against the criminals. Well, who's the criminals? Soon, it'll be you and I, the Christian. The one that's in their way of having the one world government. The one that's in the way of them taking over every aspect of your life. Because we preach the gospel of Jesus that says resist the mark of the beast. Resist the one world government. Resist the beast system. That's us Christians. And soon, very soon, we will be the enemy. You know, there's much more weapons and things that the government has that they use against us. I mean, the voice of God weapons, and, you know, there's all sorts of sonar and radio wave and microwave and all kind of weapons that they use against us. And have the ability to use against us. And he just comes out and tells you that all this stuff they have the technology for. But in 5 years, they'll be able to sit in Quantico in Virginia and turn your car off in California or in wherever. They won't even have to be close to you. They'll be able to do that from a far distance. Now, if they can communicate with your car, and I tell you, this is a good reason to go back to like a 1970s and maybe early 80s car. They don't have the computers and the OnStar and the satellite, you know, communications, quote-unquote satellite communications that they do now. But if they can do this from 5,000 miles away, control your car, when they implant that RFID chip in your right hand or your forehead, do you think they can control it from 5,000 miles away? Why not? If they can do a car, that has a little radio antenna receiver on it. Why can't they do an RFID chip that has a little radio antenna receiver on it? So, look, guys, this technology is there. It's coming. And, you know, he tells us 5 years down the road, but, I mean, you saw where he was talking about this Trusona. And they've been using it with the CIA now for a few years. And now they're getting ready to release it to the public for commercial use. Well, this Trusona, I mean, you can go, it's TRUSONA.com. There's all kind of videos and all kind of stuff you can watch about it. Talk, you know, it tells you all about it. You know, and I went to the frequently asked questions. You know, can you use Trusona everywhere today? Soon, Trusona needs to be adapted by service provider, i.e. bank, healthcare, video streaming, etc. But there are a couple places like WordPress. You can use it there, a couple other places. And basically, you just have your phone and you log in. I mean, it's just kind of crazy that they're going to do away with passwords and they want you to use this account, this company, to do your logging on, logging out of places that you go. So your local Wells Fargo or Citibank or whatever contracts with Trusona, you put their app on your phone, and now you don't even, you can, I'm assuming, I've been watching some of their videos and stuff, but they do have a video where the guy goes in with an ATM card, gets ATM out, then he has a fake ATM card and gets money out. But when he logs in to Trusona with his ATM card, it lets him in, but the fake one, it doesn't let him in because of the technology they use or whatever. So I'm assuming that they're going to allow you to use your Trusona account on your phone to access your ATM with like a QR code, and it's going to give you money. And if you have the wrong card, it won't give you a code. It's the best I can surmise on how they're going to allow you to use this in day-to-day life as opposed to having a credit card, ATM card. So the government, I tell you, I don't trust a company, not one company that partners with the CIA or the NSA or any FBI, any of those places. Because if Trusona has the ability to know who you are, then the government has that ability. So they can, if they don't want you to have access to your ATM or your money through Trusona, they shut it off. I mean, all this technology, all of it, plays perfectly into the one world money system, the mark of the beast. You know, being able to buy and sell with permission of the government. I mean, seriously, folks, this is getting insane a little bit. So, you know, I want to look at Revelation for a second, and we're going to get into the mark of the beast a little bit. And I know, you know, Pastor Dean has tried to hammer this home, and, you know, we've kind of belabored the point a little bit through this ministry on the mark of the beast, because we know it's such a serious crime against God that there is no returning from taking this mark of the beast, which we believe is RFID chip in your hand or in your forehead. So go with me now. I'm going to put the scriptures up. It's Revelation 13, and we're going to go down to verse 16. And read 16 and 17 right here, and we're going to read several verses in Revelation. We're going to go to 14, 15, 16, 19, and 20, and read several verses that deal with the mark of the beast, because it's such a serious issue with this technology and the push for this technology. So you have Trusona, you have artificial intelligence, and you have cryptocurrency. And all this ties together because you have artificial intelligence that can say, oh, well, Kevin talked on the radio show tonight about taking the mark of the beast, and they learn this because they're obviously recording and storing all of what I'm saying tonight. And the artificial intelligence recognizes that and goes to Trusona, locks me out, goes to cryptocurrency, locks me out. And now I have no way to access money to buy or sell. They go to my they lock out my RFID chip. You know, they want me to take the RFID chip because they lock me out of my other ways. So, look, all this stuff ties together with this. I mean, and granted, some of it is just the first steps down this road because they haven't as far as we know, they haven't completely perfected AI. There's a lot of articles that believe that AI is what invented cryptocurrency. But I don't know. You know, that's not for the tonight show for sure. So let's read Revelation 13 right quick. 13, verse 16 and 17. And it says, and he, talking about the Antichrist, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. 17, sorry, I'm trying to do 14 things at one time, guys. So, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. We'll just go on to 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. So, you know, it's the mark of the beast. This is what it is. So we got, you can't buy or sell unless you have this mark. And so we'll go to Revelation 14, and we'll go to verse 11. And y'all bear with me. I'm doing the job of two people. So, and it says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like spake as a dragon. What? That's 13. Ah, clicked on the wrong thing. Sorry, guys. There we go. 14, 11. Well, we made it. And the smoke of their torment, talking about the people. Let's see. We can back up. It says, then the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, and here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So here we are, 14 says, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. Those people are that take the mark of the beast. Got that, guys? If you take the mark of the beast, your smoke rises forever and ever. And 15, Revelation 15, verse number 2, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true, thy ways, thou King of saints. So if you get victory over these, over the mark of the beast, over you have the harp of God, and you get your that going to heaven singing for Jesus. So 16, verse 2, says, and the first went, and this is talking about the vials of wrath being poured out on those people that took the mark of the beast. And the first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So if you take the mark of the beast in the end times, the vial of wrath of God is going to be poured out on you. And then you're going to be cast in the lake of fire. So we'll go to chapter 19, verse 20. There we go. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So the person that sits upon the horse is Jesus Christ, and the sword that proceeds out of his mouth kills the remnant. And then we'll go to Revelation 20, verse 4. It says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So you don't worship the beast. You don't worship his image. You don't take the mark of the beast in your forehead or your right hand. You get to live and reign with Jesus during the millennial reign. You make it to heaven. You love Jesus. You don't take the mark of the beast. You don't worship the beast. You get to go and reign with Jesus during the millennial reign. So here's some scriptures that tell you how dreadful it is if you take it, but then there's the scriptures that tell you how good it is if you don't take it. So guys, all of this that I've talked about tonight is steps in the directions for being able to buy or sell with the government's permission, with the beast, world government's permission. I mean, all this stuff, it can be used against you. I mean, no matter, and there's companies right now around the U.S. that are already implanting chips into their employees' hands so they can get in and out of the building through security. They can log into their computers, whatever. Do not take this. Look, you may think, well, I'm not worshiping the beast, but I'm telling you, there's been German scientists that we talked about this a while back. German scientists developed RFID chips with cyanide in it. All they could do is burst it open in your hand, cyanide in your body, you're dead. So they can kill you with this technology. They can cut off your funding with this technology if we get away from our current monetary system into a crypto digital system. They can lock up your passwords. Look, guys, this is serious, serious stuff going on. In 2018, you're going to see a greater increase of AI talk, of technologies that are with the cryptocurrencies. You know, there's a lot of stuff coming down the pipe that we don't even know about yet, but it's all tied to this increase in technology. You know, I've given my son a hard time about this because he has an iPhone and he worked all summer and got him an Apple Watch. Well, he loaded a Chick-fil-A gift card on his Apple Pay, and he walked up to the Chick-fil-A and bought his own lunch and just paid with his Apple Watch. So, you know, giving him a hard time about this because that is going to condition people, you know, in this church and in this ministry and in our house, we understand. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going any further than this right here. This is it. But people in the world that don't have the teaching that we teach here, or don't have the understanding of the mark of the beast and what it'll do to you, they use your Apple Watch to pay at the register. Well, the next step is just having a chip in your hand. You just walk up, beep, there it is. I'm telling you, you take that chip, you're done. There is no coming back. That is a blasphemy. That is an unpardonable sin that the Holy Spirit will not and God will not forgive you for. You're done. You go to the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet. End of story. Do not fall into this technology. It is time for Christians to start standing up and saying no to this beast system, to what they're wanting us to do with online digital currency that can be controlled by them. And they all want to do it. I mean, you have the movie The Circle. They want to control everything, voting, all this stuff through their system. You have Trusona wanting to manage all your passwords. You know, you have AI that is wanting to control and manage cryptocurrencies. All this digital technology, it's all linked together in some shape, form, or fashion through the internet. I mean, I saw stuff where there was a robot, I think it was in Japan, it was an AI robot that was not hooked up to the internet, but just in a lab. It kept escaping the lab because it was thinking on its own that there's more to being a lab rat, and it wanted out. So they had to chase it down several times. I mean, there's AI is learning, and once they hook up AI to the internet, it's going to be learning everything I say, everything you say, everything you do. I mean, through your TVs, your Alexas, your Googles, your Siri, whatever. AI is going to start recording and storing all of this to use how they see fit. And then when AI gets involved, AI will get to decide what to do with that information and use it how it sees fit. So I'm telling you, this is all coming to a head. And we are going to be in a world of hurt if we go with this system. So don't do it. Turn to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Don't trust in the government. Don't trust in any of these technologies to get you through what's coming in the future. We are in the end times. There is no doubt. We have a lot of biblical prophecy that has been and is being fulfilled that lets us know that we are certainly in the end times, and we may be getting into the last 7 years, very soon if we're not there already. Get prepared, get right with God, and stay close to Jesus, because there is no coming back from the mark of the beast. Guys, I hope this has been informative. I hope you've gotten something out of this. I hope you understand where all of this is leading us towards the mark of the beast. Guys, y'all, be with us Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, Fire and Grace Church service. We'll be here. Pastor Dean will have a word from God, no doubt. He'll have what we need in a timely manner. There is no pre-thought-out, internet-downloaded sermons preached in this church. It is a now word from God. Be with us Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, Pastor Dean. We should all be back Tuesday night for another Prophecy Quake. Y'all have a blessed night. Stay warm in this frigid, cold temperatures. Stay close to Jesus. Good night, and God bless.
to Prophecy Quake. To further connect with us, go to deanodal.org or Facebook us at Dean Odal Ministries.